Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I walk a straight line, shackle and chain. Oh, gruesome Gertie is calling my name. There is no mercy in this penitentiary. Just ask the Hill String Gang, Rango the Three.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to Bloody
Angola,
a podcast 142 years in the making.
Complete story of America's bloodiest prison.
And I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Oak.
And I'm glad you're here.
And I'm glad to be back. Thank you for covering me, bro. What a fire series. And I was just listening to it again, the second part, right before before I walked in to record this. And that Wilbert story is just absolute fire.
Oh, yeah.
And the numbers prove it, and you did a hell of a job. It was very well put together, and I appreciate it covering
it. Thank
you. Let me give a shout out real quick to I did the Louisiana Probation Parole Officer Association conference last week, and wasn't aware, but that several of them live on the beeline still. Say, like my grandfather did.
Yeah.
And so I got to meet some of those guys, and they were really cool, and they enjoy the show, Bloody Angola. So I'm going to give a shout out to them, and all of them are listening up there.
Right? 100%. So. Shout out to those guys. Thank you for listening. Yep. And how was that?
It was great, man. Great people from, they had every office from across the state of Louisiana represented there.
Wow.
Which is a lot.
Yeah, I can imagine.
You wouldn't think of how many probation officers and parole officers there are, even like East Feliciana. You know, the smallest Clinton is, they have that one, and they call it the Feliciana office, and they do, you know, because DCI is in East Feliciana, and then the mentally insane hospital, criminal mental insane hospital is there, and whatever. And this, there's so much more than we just think about a parole officer visiting a convict that got out. They offer all these different types of programs and everything else. It's pretty interesting.
Very good.
Great people.
And supporters of the show, which
I love it. Hey, that's huge. And then I'm talking about that's the reason I got invited to speak there and be the judge for the cook-off and stuff is because, Sean and them are top fans.
Yeah. Right?
So it was awesome.
Love it. Well, we're going to get into today's episode. And one of the topics that always seems to spark debate, y'all, is capital punishment. And regardless of what side you are on that debate, one thing for certain is that the history of the electric chair is one of the probably most interesting topics. If you listen to this show, I'm sure you're into that. And that's what we're going to cover in detail on today's episode. Now, much of the research that was obtained for this episode I was able to obtain from Angolites, actually. Right. And these, and you just spoke of Wilbert Rito, Woody, right. And the majority of this information it was inspired by articles that he wrote. Personally, so if you hadn't heard the Wilbert Rito episodes, go listen. They're very interesting.
Really interesting. The electric chair was first used in New York on August the 6th of 1890. Now, that's been a minute, y'all. Oh. To execute William Kemmler, who had killed his wife with an axe. Not much was known about electricity at the time, but the country was trying to get away from the public hangings, and there was a good reason for that, y'all. Hangings were getting pretty gruesome prior to the use of the electric chair, and it was not uncommon for heads to become completely separated from the bodies.
Oh, my God.
But they didn't get the weight right, right? Yeah. So when you hang somebody, the hangman has to have the body weight right to counterweight to hang you.
Sure.
And they would line people up, and somebody my size and somebody weighs 200 pounds different, well, if you put, you know, I go after them, their weight's going to rip your head off.
Wow.
But anyway, then there was the issue of instant death when it came to hangings. Many times the condemned individual would just hang there, twisting and turning in agony, many for 10 to 15 minutes before they eventually die. And that would be the hangman not getting enough weight in, y'all. Occasionally the rope would break and the condemned would be picked up off the ground. Can you believe this? And marched back up the gallows, as they were called, and they'd do it again. All of this was done in public at the time, and hangings drew quite a crowd. It was a big deal with entire families, including children, witnessing the event. And they did this. I mean, they sold popcorn. It was a big, it was usually done in the courthouse square.
Yeah, they didn't have TV back then. Yeah, right. I mean, that was your entertainment, as crazy as it sounds.
And at the time, the thought process was if executions were done in public, it would deter crime, which is why parents almost always brought along their kids. And can you imagine that scare them? Like, yeah. You don't do your homework.
That's what's going to happen to you.
Your eyes are going to pop out your head. thing was parents saying, if you screw up, this is what will happen to you. And it's interesting to note that the last execution by hanging was actually in Kentucky, and it occurred in 1936, and it drew over 20,000 people to watch.
Bro, that is a rock people concert. Love,
nothing sells like fucking
20,000 people.
Yeah, and I bet you it'd be a lot more today if they did it. But as I said, they became botched, and more public outcry had many of the states looking for different methods of execution. In 1886 in New York, the governor appointed a committee to discover just this, and then they actually considered lethal injection, but not the same as it was done today. As it's done today, they were looking at into injecting acid into the veins. Now, but that's the mean. You might as well chop your fucking head.
Oh my gosh,
that would be worse. Death by fire squad was also considered, but was seen at the time by society as a whole as being uncivilized.
Mm-hmm. But injecting acid, not so bad. Right.
Crazy. I'm one who's going to try the acid out first. Ugh. The new solution, known as the chair in those days, actually was discovered by accident. And due to the newness of electricity, there were tons of deaths surrounding learning technology. You know, y'all figure it out. You know,
yeah, electricity. They
everybody
didn't know what
knows
did
now.
Like
don't
then.
Put your iron in near your bathtub, right? And
right.
Fall in. So, but anyway, it was actually these deaths and the spark created when the individual was shocked that gave Thomas Edison the idea of the light bulb, as well as New York the idea for the electric chair. And it was Edison himself that urged the adopting of what would be known as the nation's first electrical death act, which was signed into law on June 4th, 1890.
And
I mean, as soon as you get electricity.
Yeah. And, you know, you said something there about you made the comparison of an iron in a bathtub. Yeah, right. You know, the only way they knew that that was bad is somebody dropped an iron in a bathtub.
All the policy procedures, every rule in there is because somebody screwed something up.
Yeah.
I mean, it happened, right? But you just know what you didn't know. Now, what was not public known at the time was that Edison was in a major feud with another inventor by the name of George Westinghouse. And
you've heard of it. Yeah, names, everybody's right? heard of Westinghouse appliances.
Who had his own electric company. Now, Edison was a proponent of what is known as the DC current or direct current, which was expensive to produce, while Westinghouse was a proponent of AC or alternate current, which was much cheaper and more effective at killing someone, much more effective and thus more appealing to New York as it relates to electricity for the electric chair. However, what Edison did not realize is that he really had no competition at all. Westinghouse was opposed to capital punishment completely. And when the state of New York sought his services due to the cost being cheaper, Westinghouse said, go pound sand. I'm not doing it. I don't believe in death penalty. Edison, knowing that Westinghouse AC current machine known as the dynamo was much more reliable at actually killing people, that he had a trusted friend from another company purchase a dynamo, then ship it to Edison, and it was actually Westinghouse's machine that was used to execute Kimmler, although Edison never told anyone. It was not discovered until years later.
Yeah.
It's crazy, right?
It is crazy, and Edison, you would never think, had such a hand in that. Yeah, but yeah. Hell, he was the – back in those days, he was the guy when it came to electricity.
Yeah, and he invented so many different things.
Yes.
Like the record player, and I mean, you name it, he did it.
That's right. The light bulb.
Light bulb, yeah.
Yeah. So when the switch was pulled on Kimmler, y'all, as you would expect, it was news all over the country. And a reporter who witnessed it actually discussed what he saw. And just listen to this. The first execution by electrocution has been horror. Doctors say the victim did not suffer. Yeah, only his maker knows if this is true. To the eye, it looked as though he were in convulsive agony. The current had been passing through his body for 15 seconds when the electrodes at the head were removed. Suddenly, the breast heaved. There was straining at the straps which bound him. A purplish foam covered the lips and were spattered on the leather headband. The man was alive. Wow. Warden, doctors, guards, everybody lost their wits. There was a startling cry for the current to be turned on again. The rigor of death came on the instant. An odor of burning flesh and singed hair filled the room.
This smells like that.
For a moment, a blue flame played about the base of the victim's spine.
Right.
This time, electricity flowed for 4 minutes.
Wow.
Kimmler was dead. Part of his brain had been baked hard. Some of the blood in his head had been turned to charcoal.
That's crazy.
I mean, the descriptiveness of that.
Throwing up. Yeah, this very descriptive.
First guy to be executed. Another mishap occurred by electrocution. Another mishap occurred just 3 years later, y'all, in 1893. William Taylor was strapped into New York's electric chair for killing a fellow inmate. Now, when the electricity hit him, his legs stiffened and ripped off the front of the chair where his ankles were strapped. With no support, the chair fell on top. It's on top of his face with Taylor still strapped in. The warden screamed for the electricity to be turned off, and witnesses lifted the chair to which Taylor was found. Still alive. The switch was thrown again and nothing happened. The generator had burned up. The warden unstraps Taylor and places him on a cot where he was given painkillers. They got the chair put back together, but in the meantime, Taylor died in the cot. And if that don't tell you enough, here's another crazy one. A judge on the scene determined that the law had not been carried out. So, the warden orders the dead man back into the chair, and the current was turned on again for 30 more seconds, even though he was already dead. The warden at that point wipes his brow and says, "Gentlemen, justice
has been done. You know, I think about it, and these are really horrific accounts, no doubt about it, but I also go back and think about that was really justice. I mean, if these people were legit guilty, their victims suffered worse.
Kimmler attacked his wife with an axe. I don't think she enjoyed that too much.
Right. So anyway, y'all, let's go closer to home, okay? In bloody Angola, well, let's get close to Bloody Angola. Until 1940, Louisiana used hangings as the form of execution.
And think about that.
Yeah, 1940s.
It wasn't that long ago.
Right. That's, I mean, almost in my dad's lifetime, right? The hangings would take place in the parish where the prisoners was convicted. And we've told y'all about this before with the electric chair, but we'll get to it in a second. So in June of 1940, the law was changed to execution via an electric chair. But Louisiana did not own an electric chair and really had no idea how to buy one. It wasn't like you go to Sears and Roebuck catalog and get an electric chair, right?
Or go on Google.
Yeah, Google or
Amazon.
eBay. So it was stipulated in a law that until 1 year from the date of the law change, they could continue with the hangings. And the last hanging in Louisiana occurred on March 7th of 1940, which is, what, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, and then
almost
fuck, that's like 80, yeah, 80 plus years. So on March 7th, 1940, when four men were executed for the murder of Frank Hartman following the escape from an Arkansas prison, the radio station actually covered the event live, and the men were hanged one after the other, right? Get your money's worth. Louisiana finally received the portable electric chair in July of 1941. The chair was made from oak and came retrofitted to the truck that would carry it from parish to parish. Just 2 months later, the chair would operate for the first time when Eugene Johnson, and we told y'all about this before, sat in gruesome gurney for the death of a Livingston Parish farmer named Stephen Bench. The very first one happened right here in the parish, actually in the courthouse square where I worked for so many years when my detective's office was. Anyway, we covered that story in a prior episode, along with the execution of Willie Francis when he murdered a druggist in St. Martin Parish, and some pretty crazy stories. So go listen to the Gruesome Gurney if you haven't done so to hear early stories of Louisiana's electric chair, Gruesome Gurney, and I actually sat in Gruesome Gurney.
Yeah, and some witnesses to several of the traveling executions in Louisiana were really good at describing them. Now, back during these times, the writers just were amazing at describing these things.
Yeah, totally different.
And one witness to a traveling execution in Louisiana said, "The hands turn red, then white, and the cords of the neck stand out like steel bands. Yeah. Then the limbs, face, fingers, and toes contort. Yeah. The force of the current is so powerful that the prisoner's eyeballs popped out onto his cheeks."
That is wow, that's like Beetlejuice stuff. Yeah.
"The prisoner then defecates and urinates and vomits blood and drool." Yeah,
that's what you get.
I mean, they just didn't know electricity at that time.
Yeah, they just cooked them up.
Blew
them up.
Yeah. And another traveling execution witness described this: "The body turned bright red as the temperature rises and the flesh swells and the skin stretches to the point of breaking. The prisoner caught fire and it sounded like bacon frying and smelled like burning flesh."
And nothing smells like burning flesh. You'll never forget it. If you smell it, I've had to smell it too many times.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Save big money at Menards. Gorilla tapes, glues, and adhesives are perfect for jobs around the house, indoors and out. Gorilla Heavy Duty Construction Adhesive has a 100% waterproof formula that provides a secure bond on any surface. From trim work to landscape block to hanging mirrors, it's all-purpose and holds in 30 seconds. Pick it up for your project and head to Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
So eventually, in the 1950s, due to the sheer horror of publicly held executions, the state of Louisiana decided to follow the lead of other states at that time, and they wanted to hold some their executions in private. Right. In preparation of this, Louisiana State Penitentiary added on to the newly constructed Red Hat cell block, and that was on May 31st of 1957, where they held the first execution at the Red Hat, and that was a prisoner by the name of John Michael. Yep. Now, in 1953, John Michael was convicted of raping a woman during Mardi Gras. It was the first death warrant, oddly enough, signed by Governor Huey P. Long. A total of 10 executions would take place at the Red Hat over the next 4 years.
Right.
The last to be executed at the Red Hat was a guy by the name of Jesse James Ferguson, who was convicted of the rape and murder of an 11-year-old girl. His last words before the executioner threw the switch in the Red Hat was, "Don't let it hurt me." This was in 1961, and it would be the last execution carried out by the state of Louisiana until 1983.
That's crazy. And then think about that, him saying, "Don't let it hurt."
Don't let it hurt.
But he murdered an 11-year-old girl. So let's go to Robert Wayne Williams, and he became the 11th person executed by the gruesome Gurdy. And by 1990, Louisiana executions climbed to 19, while the United States count had rose to 141. So back then, per capita really was kind of low. But in 1991, Louisiana followed the lead of other states as well and removed to lethal injection as the form of execution. Lethal injection was seen as a much more humane form of execution, but the story leading up to the switch is where it's at. So an attorney focused on getting Louisiana to switch from the electric chair obtained photographs of the execution of Robert Wayne Williams and had what would be considered as the leading physiologist and urologist in the country, who was also the top expert on electric chair, review the photos. And y'all, after he reviewed them, his belief was in that the suffer rate is high with electric executions, and it led directly to the change amid public pressure. Also exasperating the situation was the fact that the Angola Light published several post-execution photos of Robert Wayne Williams. Incidentally, we have those actual photos, and Jim's going to be posting them on Patreon page for subscribers. And look, they are, you know, I've seen them. They're tough, but it's real life, right?
Yeah, and we can't even post them on the Facebook page, so we're not going to try.
Be deleted forever.
So check out the Patreon if you want to see those. A witness to Williams' execution was actually a reporter, y'all, for the Garnet News Service, and he described it like this. Williams leaned over a white podium, and he looked at the witnesses as he spoke his last words into the microphone. "I believe deeply in my heart that God has come into my life and saved me. I told the truth about what happened. If my death do happen, I would like it to be a remembrance in Louisiana and the whole country, that it would be a deterrence against capital punishment, and know that capital punishment is no good. I would like all the people that fought against capital punishment to keep on fighting, not just on my behalf, but on the behalf of everyone else." And then he continued with that article to say, with that, Williams took 4 steps and sat down in the chair. Williams watched as the guards buckled the 8 leather straps, each one about the width of a man's belt, around the torso and limbs. The Reverend motioned for him to hold his head up. Williams seemed to catch the eyes of each witness through the glass. The guards removed the handcuffs and then placed a chin strap, which held his head backwards. He did not struggle. In his left hand, he held a blue and white handkerchief. His body was immobilized, except for his hands, which rested on the chair arms. He again looked at the witnesses.
Hey, real quick, you know why they had the 8 straps? Because they learned. On the previous one, 7 wasn't there.
Yeah, that's right.
They got to the point where they strapped down, like nothing flying off, no meat's flying off.
They just keep adding straps until it works. When an electrode was placed on his head, William seemed to flinch slightly. His left pant leg was pulled up and another electrode was placed on his calf. A brown cloth was draped over his face.
His eyes are popping out.
One of the execution room's cinder block walls was equipped with a two-way mirror. Behind it, unseen, was the executioner. Prison officials declined to disclose his identity. The guards left. Only Warden Maggio remained in the room with Williams. Maggio gives the thumbs up. Suddenly, Williams' hands and fingers jerked closed. His stomach muscles seemed to contract. There were four distinct jolts of electricity. Smoke and sparks rose from the leg electrode on the first and third wave. After the first wave, however, Williams showed no voluntary movement. So that is a description of Williams' electrocution. And then the last execution to occur in Louisiana via electrocution was that of Dalton Prejean. Mm-hmm. And this eyewitness account from a reporter from the Times-Picayune, which is the New Orleans paper,
right,
gives this descriptive look. I arrived at the Louisiana State Penitentiary at 7 o'clock on May 17th of 1990. Initially, I waited while the other members of the press at the warden's office. At 11:15 p.m., I and other witnesses were escorted to Camp F, which housed the state penitentiary's death chamber. While waiting for the execution, food and beverages were served to the witnesses. About 30 minutes prior to the execution, all witnesses, including myself, were escorted into the witness room. The room is small, built of cinder blocks like the death chamber itself, and completely walled off from the death chamber, which is visible by a 4-foot by 6-foot window. The electric chair sits squarely in the middle of the death chamber, facing the row of witness seats. A podium with a microphone stands to the witness left of the electric chair, and communication between the death chamber and witness room occurs via this microphone. Just after midnight, Mr. Prejean enters the death chamber. He stood shackled at the microphone and made his last statement, which was, "Nothing is going to be accomplished. I have peace with myself." The shackles were removed and he took his seat in the chair. Guards strapped him in, tightened a second strap around his left leg, and attached a cap of leather to his head. The guards dropped a cloth hood over his face, concealing it from view. An electrician then came into the death chamber and checked all the connections and turned on the fan. Mr. Prejean's hands were clenched and his chest heaved rapidly. The warden nodded to the executioner, and I saw Mr. Prejean jerk violently in response to the first jolt of electricity. He seemed to try to rise out of the chair, only to press more against the straps. On the second jolt, Mr. Prejean's right fist turned outward, and on the third jolt, a spark shot from his left leg in the area of the electrode, followed by a puff and smoke. After the final jolt, Mr. Prejean's body was still. We watched him for 5 minutes before the coroner and prison doctor approached to examine the body. The prison doctor lifted the hood and checked his eyes. They were half closed. His face was gray and his eyes were lit and lips were blue. The coroner briefly checked for a heartbeat and the prison doctor announced his death into the microphone.
That's so hardcore, bro. I didn't want to interrupt you on any of that.
But you know, very descriptive, too.
Yeah,
you can almost see it.
I think when this came out in 1990, this article, there was no internet.
Right.
And none of that shit. So this was the newspaper. That's how you got your jam every day. And these people could still write back then. Very descriptive, but Prejean did some very bad shit. But, I mean, it's a tough way to go. So that was it. And 1991 comes, and Louisiana goes to lethal injection as a form of execution. And now the drugs you need to perform those executions, you can't get in Louisiana with the new governor who is tough on crime. And the death penalty is in the process of, you know, seeking out different forms of execution, y'all. And we'll keep you posted on that. So we told you a ton regarding the history of executions via electric chair, not only in Bloody Angola, but in the United States with this episode. So next week, we're going to cover history of executioners, both in the United States and in bloody Angola. And we have the Denny's, y'all, so look for that next week.
Yeah.
And it's very cool. Different that you got the identities, because I know one of the reasons they used to keep them secret is to keep the families and shit from retaliation against them and stuff like that.
100%. And not only do I have the identities of the two executioners. Look, there was one executioner from the state of Louisiana that conducted over 60 executions. And another one that conducted 30 plus, I believe, or something like that.
Yeah,
here's the interesting thing. I have pictures of the second guy.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
It's going to blow your mind. It blew my mind. And I know a little bit about the history. And when I came across this stuff, I just couldn't believe it. And it's a little more public than you may think.
Yeah.
And so we'll get into that next week. But, you know, Woody, you just mentioned discussing these alternate forms of execution. We talked about this on Real Life Real Crime Daily.
Yeah. They just did the first one. This is nitrogen asphyxia in Alabama.
Yeah. I believe it was. Yeah.
And anyway, they take all the, they said it would have been, basically appeared to be painless, except this dude held his breath for 4 minutes. Like that's a record amount.
Yeah.
He was like, fuck it, I'm not breathing.
Well, and when you know the first breath you do, you're done.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's pretty cool. I mean,
states are looking into firing squads.
Firing squads. Oh, Louisiana is. Louisiana's looking into that one that they just used in Alabama. And, or maybe it was hanging there looking at bringing back. I can't remember which one, but they're looking, Jeff Landry is looking at
hangings,
different things.
Wow.
So I think they ought to make it public. You know, I mean, if it deters one person, that's what they, you know, they say for a deterrent, a crime to be effective, it has to be swift and certain. Mm-hmm. None of these executions are swift because of the amount of appeals and all that.
The
certain part, like on these botched electrical electrocutions and shit like that, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, and
most of the people that get sentenced to death row nowadays get off a death row and get life in prison. Or, like in Louisiana, you got people that die on death row because they're old as fuck now because of the appeals process.
Yeah, yeah, it takes decades.
We got the one the oldest one now on death row is from Livingston Parish, and he's been there 48 years.
Really?
Yeah, him and his lover killed that.
Oh boy. Yeah, you did it. You did that on Real Life.
Raped him, and then his lover that helped him torture and rape this little boy before they killed him inside the river. He actually died on death row of like cancer or some shit. Been 48 fucking years, all appeals exhausted, and just sitting there.
And you know, this guy in particular that Woody's talking about, there's no doubt he did it. There's not going to be anything to come out.
There's no doubt about it, but his appeals have been done. Mm-hmm. The Supreme Court, everybody's rejected it. He's just waiting on a death date.
And
there'll be no phone ring on the fucking wall because all that shit is exhausted. He can't go anywhere.
And the interesting thing is that the longer they're there, the older they get, expensive it is to house them.
And guess who has to pay for it? Well, we're not the appeals process, whatever parish you're convicted in, that parish has to pay for the whole appeals process. And it costs millions and millions and millions of dollars. Each one of these appeals process, like $10, $15 million, where to house them for the rest of their life probably costs $600,000 or $700,000.
Yeah.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
That's
you know what? Fuck that. That some people, and it's like it's a club nobody wants to be a part of. And until you've seen the shit that I've seen and what the family members had to go through, and this what some of these victims had to go through, some people deserve that don't deserve to breathe. And it's the law of the land. I didn't make the law.
So. That's right. And you know, you never want anyone, of course, to be. And it has happened, though. Yeah. Someone's been on death row and come to find out they didn't do
it. Right.
And so you don't. You know, nobody's saying that we want someone to get convicted and the next day they get executed. Right, I mean, there's got to be a time process. Let's make sure we get it right, but not 48 years, not 20 years.
It's too long. Our justice system isn't perfect, but it's the best in the world.
Amen to that.
Just think of a place like Saudi Arabia.
We talked about that on the Daily Show.
How many appeals do you think those cats get?
Stoning them till to this day.
Chopping off arm and a leg, you know, and shit, just and chopping off heads.
Yeah.
And that executioner is famous. He does, like, public tours.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And, look, we also want to put a quick shout-out there, a couple of things. First, if there's something that you'd like to hear us cover that relates to Bloody Angola, Give us a message.
Those parole officers that are living on the B-line and maybe get, I don't know if the state allow them to do because of civil service, but maybe get their side of the take on what
they do. Yeah, or a retired one. I mean, it might be someone that's retired.
So if y'all listen,
would like to come on.
You worked the Bloody, and if you worked in Angola, whatever, you want to come on and share your story so everybody can get a deeper inside look. Let us know.
Yeah, we love doing the interviews. We learn as much as everybody else during them interviews. Right. A lot of times things come out and we're like two kids in a candy store watching a TV show, listening to some of these guys talk. So I know there's a couple of ex-wardens, and you know who you are, that listen to our show. And we'd love to have you come on. Come on here and let's talk. Angola. It's not live. We can cut out stuff.
Delete anything you want.
If we say something we didn't want to say, but we'd love to have any of you on. And lastly, you hear us talk about a lot, best banker ever, Lori Johnson.
She is,
and she's a huge supporter of really everything we do, whether it's Bloody Angola or Real Life Real Crime, Real Life Real Crime Daily.
Local leaders.
She is such a just a good person and supporter, and she's actually doing a Dancing with the Stars thing to raise money for the Big Buddy program, which they have those pretty much in every area of the country. So no matter where you're at right now, you're probably familiar.
Right.
And the way that they do it when they raise this money is you get a vote and you just vote for one of these dancers. And it's like $10 for a vote, but it all goes to the Big Buddy program. Right. It's completely tax deductible.
Great program. If you have one kid that doesn't have a dad or whatever, a male figure in his life or a female figure in their life, you know, it's a positive figure, and you get one kid, you reach them.
Yeah. Right?
Then it's just, you know, stop them from going to Bloody Angola. That's for sure.
It'll change your life and their life and your life.
So it's a wonderful organization.
It really is. And
shout out for Lori.
Absolutely. Completely tax deductible. So what we're going to do is put the link. If you'd like to participate in that, we'd love for you to do it. And someone that really gives more than she ever takes from her community and life in general. Right. So we'd love to support her on that.
And hopefully we can get a video.
Oh, yeah.
Doing a dance.
Yes. Yeah. I will get a video.
I understand, Lori, that you've been working out and practicing all this stuff. Hey, shout out to Lori's family, too. They're huge supporters.
Huge. Her husband is as good a dude as you'll ever meet, Josh Johnson.
Played in the golf tournament.
Yeah. He's a scratch golfer, too.
Doppelganger. Ooh. And then her daughter.
Yeah. Her daughter is the best. Both her daughters.
Yeah, both her daughters, yeah.
Are really awesome as well, and huge support. They just all support us.
Yeah, great family.
We get the chance to support them back.
If you go in, and we're going to put it on the Real Life Real Crime app and all our social media. If you go in, you vote for, and $10 a vote, tax deductible. I want y'all to post it so we can share and let Lori know that we back her.
Yeah, we'd love that. And so. That's it for today.
That's it. I know the rodeo is going on. No, I'm sorry. They have one weekend of the rodeo coming up in April.
Yeah, that's right.
And we won't be there. Jim might. But we've been promising this for over a year. We do have plans of going there.
Yeah.
And it's been, all we have to do is find the time and make the call. So, but anyway, it'd be awesome.
Yeah, and once we do that, we will put out an episode.
Yeah, we're gonna have some.
It's gonna be fire.
The idea of it is to get inside the wire, and then we'll probably come up, or Jim will come up with the idea for 150 episodes. Everything from the museum to
we can talk about
the death house, to the food, to whatever.
No
right?
doubt about it.
So anyway.
Well, thank you, lastly, to our patrons for supporting. Oh, yes. We couldn't do this without the patrons.
No doubt about it. I hope you're enjoying your benefit.
Yeah.
I got a little something I'm going to put up for y'all. I know Jim has another one, too. Just thank you for your support. And if you can't be a patron member, we get it. If you could just like and share and continue to spread the word on the number one history podcast in the world.
Numero
its first year uno. Out, y'all, which is, we thank y'all for voting for that People's Choice Award.
Yeah.
But check out the Patreon, go to patreon.com and type in Bloody Angola or look on our social media. There's so many different tiers to offer, so many different perks. Jim works so hard on all that stuff to keep it all straight. We love and appreciate each and every one of y'all.
Yep. And until next time, I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Overton.
Your host of Bloody
Angola,
a podcast 142 years in the making.
Complete story of America's bloodiest prison.
Peace.
I walk a straight line, shackled and chained. Oh, gruesome Gertie is calling my name. There is no mercy in this penitentiary. Just ask the Hill String Gang, Rango.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.